So we're holding on page Chofches of Chagiga, the last few words of the page, still the middle of Oisches. We were in the middle of learning about, the Shlokesh had said there were seven levels of heaven, and we were going through them, name by each one, their name and what its purpose is, and where we see in a pasuk that name. So the last one we mentioned, the last one we mentioned is that by day we Jewish people sing to Hashem with tefillah, and therefore the Malachim don't, so as not to drown us out. And then by night, instead, they sing. And we quote in that connection the pasuk, "Yoyim mitzava Hashem chasded." By day, Hashem commands His chesed, meaning Rashi had said Hashem commands the Malachim to be quiet by day as a chesed for us Jewish people, so that our voices are not drowned out by them over Laila. And then at night, Shirei, His song, the song of the Malachim, that's to Hashem, Imi is with me, tefillah l'keil chayai, a tefillah to Hashem who gives me life. So having quoted that pasuk, Gemara brings another drasha on it as well. And then after that, after a couple of drashas about learning Torah, then we'll get back to the then we'll get back to the list of the seven levels of heaven. So Amar Shlokish kol ha'osek b'Torah b'layla, a person occupies himself with studying Torah at night. HaKadosh Baruch Hu moshech alav chutzo chesed b'yom, Hashem draws over him a thread of kindness by day, meaning that people look at him, that people look at him favorably because of Hashem causes people to look favorably in him. Shenema, the same pasuk, Yoyim mitzava Hashem chasdei, by day Hashem commands his chesed, that there should be a special chesed and a special chein on such a person. My time, Yoyim mitzava Hashem chasdei. Why is that? Mishum de ba'layla shirei imi, because this is a person who by night had his song of Torah with me, so therefore Hashem gives him that chesed by day. Marsha explains in Avodah Gemara, is also in Avodah Zarah, Marsha explains over there, usually a person stays up all night or a good part of the night, then the next day he looks tired, he's got bags under his eyes, he's irritable and so forth. But Hashem makes it that specially that he's not, that Adrabba, people see him as graceful and good in the schos of his learning Torah. Ikadamri, another version of the Darasha, goes differently. The contrast is not between the night and day that we have every 24 hours, but rather the night and day of history, of Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. So Ikadamri, Amar Rish Lakish, Kol Ha'osek b'Torah ba'Olam Hazeh Shedoyim L'Laila, a person who occupies himself with studying Torah in this world, which is compared to night because it's dark and we don't have a Gilui HaLakus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshech Alav Chutzo Chesed L'Olam Haba Shedoyim L'Yoyim, then an Olam Haba, which is like day, because then we have a clear vision of HaLakus, then, so that's like day, and then Hashem puts a thread of kindness and grace on him, and makes it, again, in other words, that he's looked at much more kindly and favorably because of that. So either the Yom and the Laila, respectively, mean that within every 24 hours, when the day and the night, or it means and within a person's lifetime and afterlife, or of the world in general. And the Gemara continues in this vein, talking about the importance of learning Torah. Omer Levi, call a posik b'divrei Torah, a person interrupts his learning of Torah, but osik b'divrei sicha, and he gets involved in talking stam casual conversation. Machilin osik gachle resamim, he's going to be fed calls of roisim. Word roisim is often translated in English as broom tree. It's a kind of tree that grows in the desert. It's mentioned in Tanakh. It mentions, for example, that at one point that at one point Eliyahu HaNavi was resting under one when he was running away from Ahab and Izebel. Anyway, it has the property that coals made from it can look cold and extinguished on the outside, and they're still hot on the inside. So elsewhere, the Gemara mentions it as a metaphor for Lashon Hara. Rashi mentions it on a pasuk in Parshas Maaseh in connection with one of the places where the Jewish people camped during the 40 years. It was called Risma, and that was the place where they sent the Meraglim from who spoke Lashon Hara. But anyway, so those coals, so now we're saying such coals are going to be fed to a person who interrupts his learning Torah in order to talk. Anaf Yosef points out the midah keneged midah, and it is that the Gachle Rasamim then was saying. So you have open flames, then you have coals, and Gachle Rasamim are sort of halfway between that. You have, well, let's put it this way. You have, in other words, so you have open flame, then you have the complete opposite of that, which things that only have the potential of fire in them, but not the actuality. For example, flintstones, where you strike them together and you'll get a spark, but you don't see any fire in them. And Gachle Rasamim are sort of the middle thing between that. So the same way, Torah is the here he's starting to fan the flame of Torah, and then in the middle, so he left it incomplete. So therefore he gets Gachle Rasamim. Shenema, as the pasuk says, hakotfim maluach aleisiach v'shorash resamim lachman. The simple meaning of the pasuk is Eov is describing low down people, the kind of people that nobody wants in normal society, where therefore, like, they have to, they're kicked out of the cities and they live in the middle, and they live out in the forests and the fields. And what do they eat? He describes hakotfim maluach aleisiach. They pick or they scrape maluach, which is a kind of moss, alei siach, that grows on the bushes, v'shodesh v'samim lachmam, and they eat roots of roisem. In other words, like, they don't even eat normal human food because nobody wants them in human society. That's the simple meaning of the pasuk. Here the Gemara is doubtioning it like this, hakotfim, that they pick, in other words, that they interrupt maluach, the Torah that was given on the luchos, alei siach, in order to talk, siach maloshen sicha, then b'shorosh v'samim lachmam, the result is their food is going to be roots of roisem, and in this case, we're talking about coals that are made from those roots. So there's the importance, in other words, of not only does a Talmud Chacham have to learn Torah, and when he does, then Hashem gives him special chesed, but he can't even... And even Ian Yaakov adds, we know Sichas Tamar Chachamim, Sichim Talmud, that even the casual speech of Tamar Chachamim has to be learned, and you can learn things from it. Nevertheless, they shouldn't be interrupting in the middle of actual learning Torah for Sicha, and if they do, then that's what Reb Levi is saying. Okay, so we had said that this was all a digression from, we were talking about the level of Shemayim that was called Ma'arim, where we said that's where the groups of Malachim who sing to Hashem are. Omanolam de Ikri Shemayim, where do we see that Ma'arim is the name of a level of Shemayim? Shenem Hashkifim im Oin Kodshacham in Hashemayim. As we see, we ask Hashem, look down from your holy Ma'arim, from your holy dwelling, from Shemayim. In fact, Marashah says, the pasuk continues, "Avorech Asam Yisrael," meaning bless us Jewish people through the Malachim. We find that Yaakov was benched by a Malach. We find that Yaakov himself later on says to Yosef and Menashe and Ephraim, "A Malach Agoyelosi." So therefore, so the level of Shemayim where the Malachim reside, which is Moin, is where we're asking Hashem to give us brachas through by means of those Malachim. Next, now we come to the sixth level of Shemayim called Mochin. And mochin, Rashi explains, is a word that means like a storehouse or an arsenal where there's all kinds of punishments available. You have the all kinds of tools of punishment. We find the word mochin is from the same shodosh as nochin, and we find that used, Rashi says, of punishments of the Rishoyim. You have a pasuk in Mishlei, nochinu laleitzim shvatim, Hashem has ready and prepared for leitzim, for scoffers, has prepared shvatim, various kinds of punishments. So therefore, the level of Shemayim, where those things are located, that Hashem dispenses out for those things, is called mocha, from the same shodosh as nocha. Anyway, so Shaboy Oitzris Sheleg, in there are storehouses of snow, but Oitzris Borod, and storehouses of hail. Rashi explains that all these things are for punishment, that you always have these. Sometimes you have that Hashem sends an unusually heavy snowstorm that damages people's houses and what have you, or a hailstorm that does the same thing, like that Makas Barad, and those are stored over there. On the other hand, Tosfos says it's not necessarily always. There is snow that comes for good as well. Back in Tinus, for example, we learn that one snowfall is as good for the land as five rainfalls. So when we say over here Oitzris Sheleg, we don't mean necessarily that the ones in Machon are all being used for punishment. Some of them may be used for positive purposes as well. So again, you have the snow, the hail, Valias Tlolim Roim, and then you have when there's bad dew. As we learned in Tainis, you have generally dew is a bracha, but nevertheless there can be dew which has harmful effects. For example, the plant. For example, you have crops that are supposed to be drying in the field, and they get wet with the dew, and they end up rotting. Valias eglin, a golem or eglin, and also you have where that they come up from there eglin. So Rashi says that it means like basins of water. And it means basins or droplets of water that are used for punishment. For example, again, Rashi says it causes the crops to get ruined. You also have in that level of Shemayim is a room in which Hashem keeps storm winds and hurricanes, and a cave where Hashem keeps smoke. So all of these things Hashem uses to punish the Rishoyim, each in its appropriate time. So Marsha says you actually have Psukim and Eov that mention that Hashem at one point during the whole thing when Eov and his friends have been trying to figure out why Eov is going through what he went through. So finally Hashem appears to Eov and starts telling him, "Do you b'chol understand how I run the world that you think you should know it all?" And at one point Hashem mentions to him this kind of thing: "Have you come havosad otsris sheleg? Have you come to the storehouses of snow and of hail and so forth?" And miholit egletol. And Hashem mentions all the various things that are mentioned in the Gemara. So all of them, Hashem is saying, I have them reserved to punish Rishoyim when necessary, and you have no idea about that. All of these storehouses that Hashem has there in Machon, the doors to those storehouses are made of fire, which in fact, Marsha adds, that fire itself is sometimes used as a punishment for Rishoyim. In fact, there are other Gemaras where Marsha points out that fire is like the ultimate destructive thing. Among all the various destructive forces that Hashem created in the world, fire is the most destructive, and it leaves like very little, if anything, behind, more so than the other. So therefore, that's the metaphor over here of describing that the doors of them are made out of fire, which again Hashem uses on the Rishoyim when necessary. Shenema, and we know that Hashem has an arsenal and a storehouse of punishments like that. Shenema, you have a posach Hashem Seitzorei, talking about the downfall of Bavel. Hashem has opened up his storehouse, Vayotzes Kleizama, and he took out his tools of anger. So we see that Hashem has like a storehouse or an armory full of, or an arsenal, whatever you want to call it in English, full of weapons of punishment that he uses against the Rishoyim, like Bavel. And we have another pasuk, Yiftach Hashem Lecha, said, Sorry, Atoiv, Hashem will open up for you his good storehouse. Well, if we're saying the good storehouse implies that there's also a bad storehouse, and that's the one where all these things are kept. The printed Gemaras have only the second pasuk. The Ein Yaakov, the original editions of Ein Yaakov have the first pasuk from Yirmiyah, and a number of Mefoshim say that's really supposed to be the correct one because you can learn from it more directly. What do you need to learn indirectly from Otsare Atov when you can learn more directly from the pasuk in Yirmiyah? Okay. Anyway, the Gemara asks, "Vahani Berakia Isnu, you're telling me all these things that we just listed are found in the heavens and the sixth heaven. Hani Ba'are Isnu. These things are found on earth, or some of them at least are found on earth. We have in Tillim, Hallelujah Hashem min ha'aretz, praise Hashem from the earth. Taninim, the sea monsters, the Leviathan and all of their ilk. V'chot tahoimus and all the depths. Eish uvarad, fire and hail. All of you should be praising Hashem. Sheleg v'kiter, snow and smoke. Ruach Sa'ara and the storm wind, Oysed Varei, which does what Hashem says to do. So all of these things, we're saying that this is all Mina Oretz. So all of these things are on Oretz. Now, the Rambam actually in Hilchos Yisod HaTorah says that's not what the Pasuk means anyway. He says it means when he says the Sheleg and Kitter and so on, Eish and Varad and so forth, he says they don't have any ability to praise Hashem, they don't have any intelligence or anything. It means when we see Hashem's actions with them, then we praise Hashem. So according to him, the question in the Gemara wouldn't really begin. Certainly we see Eish and Barad and so on and so forth on earth, but the Gemara, which seems to be taking it in the more literal sense that these things actually praise Hashem from the earth, well, based on what we just said, they should be praising Hashem from the heaven in Mochon, where they're located. And the answer is Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, actually, but David hoyu barakia. You're right. They were originally in the heaven in Moch before David came along. But David bikkush aleihem rachmim. But when David came along, he asked for rachmim from Hashem. And he had all these things moved down and brought down to earth. Therefore, now in Tillim, he's able to say hallelujah Hashem mina oretz and list all these things. Why did he not want them in Shemayim? Omar lefanim says Rebbeinu Shel Olam, as the pasuk says in Tillim, ki loy keil chofetz resha otar. You Hashem do not. Do you, Hashem, are kind? Kael is the name of Chesed. You don't desire wickedness. Lo yigur hara, evil does not dwell with you. Which means the pasuk means to say tzaddik ata Hashem. You, Hashem, being the ultimate tzaddik, lo yogur b'migur hara. There should not be in your dwelling place anywhere near you. There should be anything. There shouldn't be anything evil. So therefore, all these things that are used for purposes of punishing the Rishoyim to bring evil to the world, when necessary, David is saying, fine, that kind of thing is necessary, but they don't have to be like in your dwelling place, so to speak, so close to where you are. Ion Yaakov talks about a couple of reasons why David particularly is concerned about that. One thing is because in David HaMelech's times, unfortunately, there were many Baalei Lashon Hara. The Medrash says that even though they were keeping Torah and mitzvahs very carefully and very punctiliously, and basically they were all tzaddikim, but because of the Lashon Hara, many people were being killed in war, and because of that, therefore also the Shekhinah couldn't remain on earth. So therefore David is saying, Mela, until now the Shekhinah was able to be on earth, ever since Matan Torah, Ikur Shekhinah B'tachtonim, so to begin with, Ikur Shekhinah B'tachtonim, and eventually Moshe Rabbeinu brought it back down to earth by Matan Torah. But now if it's going to have to withdraw up to Shemayim, then how can you also have this all these things, the Otsris Shelag and Otsris Borod, which are meant for negative purposes? How could those be there together with you in the Shechina? So therefore they should be brought down to earth. Okay. Umanolan de Ikri Shemayim, how do we know then? Now Tosfos does point out the fact is these things do still descend from the clouds. So therefore, we can still talk about, in a general sense, that they come min hashamayim. You have, after all, a pasuk in Yeshaya, and Yeshaya lived a couple hundred years after David, where he says, "Ki kasha yered ageshem ha-shelig min hashamayim." So they do come from Shemayim, but in the sense, just from the clouds. From our point of view, they come from somewhere up there, but not that they come from Mochon like it was originally. Also, Tosfos says, David is talking about the ones that are meant for punishment. Those should be down on earth, or at least in the atmosphere immediately above the earth, as opposed to the ones that are for good. After all, you have snow that's for good, like Tosfos had pointed out before. You have rain that's for good. All these other things sometimes are for good as well. So those, by all means, David had no problem with those staying in Mochon. Okay, Umanolan de Ikri Shamayim. Where do we see that Mochon is a name of Shamayim? Shenema va'ata tishma Shamayim Mochon Shivtecha. Shlomo HaMelech asks in his tefillah that Hashem, you should listen from Shamayim, the Mochon of your dwelling. So therefore, and this is the context is Shlomo is talking about throughout that tefillah. He's talking about when various troubles and disasters happen to an individual Yid or to a whole community of Jews or to the whole Jewish people collectively, that they should be able to come to the Bais Mikdash and daven to Hashem, and Hashem will accept their tefillahs. So therefore, now he's saying that what you'll hear from Shamayim, from Mochon, where all of these negative things are located, and you will hear, and instead you'll shower brachos on the Jewish. Okay, now we come to the seventh heaven, Aravos, which is so called. So we'll see later on where we see that Aravos is the name of it, is the name of a heaven. But first, Shabbat Tzedek Mishpat, at that level, the highest of the heavens, so like so to speak, closest to Hashem, you have over there is Tzedek and Mishpat. So Marsha points out the difference between them is Tzedek means that there's no injustice over there. And Mishpat, so remember, actually, what Maharsha explains is that Tzedek and Tzedakah are two things. Tzedek means no injustice. Tzedakah is when you're going lefnim mishuras hadin and you're giving something to somebody where he doesn't deserve it. And Mishpat means justice. So Tzedek and Mishpat, as the Gemara is going to show soon, those are like the foundations of Hashem's throne. That means they're in Aravos, which is the highest of the heavens on which, so to speak, Hashem's throne sits. So tzedek and mishpat, or tzedakah, as well as tzedakah, and again, that's why we have the distinction between tzedek and tzedakah. Ginzei chayim, you also have over there the storehouses of life. Ginzei shalom, the storehouse of peace. Ginze Bracha, the storehouses of Bracha, the Nishmasim Shal Tzadikim, the Neshamas of the Tzadikim are also located there in Aravos, the Ruchos and Neshamas Shasidis Leibaris, and the Ruchos and Neshamas that are yet to be created, meaning, in other words, that have yet to come down to earth. This is the story where we have to talk about the Neshamas under the Kisei HaKavod. That's what we mean over here, that they're in Aravos. Rashi explains the difference between Ruchos, what's the difference between Ruchos and Neshamas. First, Rashi says they're the same thing. Then he says that another way of looking at it is the Ruach is the Neshama whose structure matches that of the body. So you have the idea. In other words, a person has Ramach Evarim, the Neshama also, so to speak, has Ramach Evarim, Shasag Yedim, and therefore, so that would be what we're calling over here Ruach, and Neshama would just be the person's ability to breathe. Neshama, Maloshim, Neshima, which is breath. Anyway, so those Ruchos and Neshamas, and then breath givers that are yet to be created, yet to be born on the world, all of those are in our robbers as well. The Tal Sha'asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Hachiz Bayis HaMesim, and also over there is the dew with which Hashem will revive the Mesim La'asid Lavi. Let's go through and show how we know that all these things are located as close as possible to Hashem, meaning in our robbers. So tzedek u'mishpat tichtiv tzedek u'mishpat machayin kisachos. The pasuk says that righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Now, since, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, the throne of Hashem is above Aravos, then that implies, therefore, that these things are the foundation of it, that they're located in Aravos. The word Aravos itself, by the way, you have later on, the Gemara is going to bring the pasuk, Sonu l'roich v'Aravos. We have a few other places in Tanakh where heavens are called Aravos. Different Mephoshim talk about what it means in the simple sense, that it means like the wide open areas or different things like that. There's places in Siddurus also where it draws a connection between those and the Aravos that we take on Sukkos. Anyway. So tzedakah, we see that tzedakah is also located there. Dichtiv vayuvash tzedakah kashirian. The pasuk says Hashem put on tzedakah like a coat of mail. We had recently in Tanya where the Alter Rebbe talks about the deeper meaning of the comparison between tzedakah and a coat of mail, because the armor is made up of a bunch of tiny overlapping scales, in the same way called pruta or prutin instead of the chashman gadol. Every penny of tzedakah adds up to a large amount, and the Alter Rebbe explains over there what exactly tzedakah accomplishes in terms of the ora, the key coming down to our world and blocking it being misused for klippus, which is like armor blocking arrows, etc., etc. And the Alter Rebbe develops the whole explains the details of the metaphor. Anyway, the point is, since it's described as Hashem's armor, so to speak, then that means it must be as close as possible to Hashem. Therefore, it's in our office. Ginze Shalom, the storehouses of peace, are there in our office. Dichtiv vayikra lo Hashem Shalom. The pasuk says he called it Hashem Shalom. Now, the symbol meaning of the pasuk is it's talking about when Gideon, after a malach appeared to Gideon and then in Sefer Shoftim and tells him, you're the one who's going to lead the Jewish people in war and fight against Midian and defeat them and save the Jewish people. So Gideon builds a mizbeach to thank Hashem, and he calls the mizbeach Hashem Shalom, meaning, as Rashi explains in a few places, not that the mizbeach is called Hashem, it means that the name of the mizbeach is, whenever a person sees and mentions that mizbeach, he will remember that Hashem is the one who brings us peace. But here the Gemara is darshaning the word differently. By Yikra Loi, Hashem. Hashem called to it. Namely, what did he call to? Shalom. Hashem called it to be with him. So therefore we see that Shalom is located in Aravos. Ginze Chaim, we're saying the storehouses of life. Dichtiv ki imcha makor chayim. As the pasuk says, with you is the source of life. Marsha also adds, by the way, as far as Shalom, we know that the name, that one of the names of Hashem is Shalom. So therefore you have Shalom over there. Ginze Chaim, Dichtiv ki imcha makor chayim. With you, Hashem is the source of life, so that the wellspring of life. So therefore we see that the whole concept of life is in our office. Ginze Bracha, the storehouse of the Bracha, Dichtiv Yisa Bracha Me'es Hashem. He, the tzaddik, the kichapayim of our levav, etc., will bear a bracha from Hashem. So again, from Hashem implies that it's as close as possible to Hashem. In fact, Marsha says, the pasuk continues, Utzdoka Meleke Yishai, but it doesn't mention Havaya over there, which is why the Gemara didn't bring that as a proof. Next, when Nishmasim Shal Tzadikim, when we say the Nishamas of Tzadikim are in Arabos. Dichtiv, Ahoysa Nefesh Adoni, Tsur, Batsura Chaim, as Hashem Alekecha. Abigail says to David, the soul of my master, of you, David, will be bound up in the bond of life with Hashem, your God. So therefore, that means that the neshamas of the tzaddikim after 120 are in Arabos. Ruchos and neshamas shasidus libaris. Then we're saying you have the spirits and the neshamas that are yet to be born. Shenema, as the pasuk says, ki ruach milafona yatov. Hashem says, a spirit enwraps itself from before me, means it comes from before me and gets enwrapped in a body, or neshamas ani asisi, and the neshamas that I made. Yeah, that ever brings that pasuk in Tanya to show that every yid has two neshamas, but we see, in other words, the point is it's milafonai, it's before me, so again, in Arabis, as close as possible, so to speak, to Hashem. Marsha points out the Gemara in Nida mentions and Darshan something from this pasuk, and Marsha explains over there the plural neshamos is because sometimes you have one person born, you have a neshama klalis who includes with him many individual neshamos. For example, it says about Moshe Rabbeinu that he was equivalent to the whole 600,000 Jewish people. So therefore, so that's kigruach milafana yatev. Hashem says a spirit enwraps itself from before me, or nesham mois ani osisi, and in that way, many neshamas are brought down to earth, and I make them and I put them in bodies all at the same time. So those are not obvious again. The talsha also that Kadosh Baruch Hu lahachis bois amesim. The dew with which Hashem is going to revive the mesim is also an arabis. Dichtiv, as the pasuk says, geshem nedavis toni felikim. You, Hashem, will make a generous rain. You wave a generous rain, and it falls. And Rashi says this is talking about a good part of that capital, Samaches, is talking about Matan Torah. In fact, the Rosh Hashanah, where they have a minhag to say it on Shavuos. For that reason, we actually have it in Tikkun Leil Shavuos for that reason as well. And we know that when by Matan Torah, they heard each one the divris and Yotza Nishmasa, and the Neshamas left them, and Hashem had to revive them with this dew. So we see. That's the dew we're talking about, and we're saying, and since earlier in that capital, a few psukim earlier, it calls Hashem Roichev Arabis, then we understand, therefore, that Geshem the Dovis, that generous rain of dew that Hashem brought on them then, and that Hashem is going to bring Asid Lavi, is found in Arabis. Next, Vesham Oifanim Usrofim B'chayis HaKodesh, they are also in Arabis at a higher level malachim. Before we said, yeah, the malachim who say Shiga that are located a few levels further down in Ma'oin. Now we have two levels higher are the malachim, the higher level malachim, the Ifanim and Surafim and Chayis HaKodesh, or Malach HaSharis, and the malachim who minister to Hashem. So in Chassidus, it talks about you have malachim, to put it in terms of the olamas. You have malachim that are in Yitzira, malachim that are in Bria, and then here we're talking about even higher than that, maybe even in olamat zilus. Anyway, the kisei akobod, and then you have the kisei akobod is there as well. Umelach keil chayv kayim rom menisa, the Hashem, the king, the living God who lives forever, who's exalted and high, dwells upon them, ba'arovos, in Arovos. The word ba'arovos over here is in brackets, it is in the Gemara, but a number of Mephoshim say it doesn't really belong, because Hashem is not in Arovos, Hashem is higher than Arovos. Hashem is roichev ba'arovos, as the Gemara is going to quote the Pasuk. So, shenema, solo lo roichev ba'arovos, as the Pasuk says, praise the one who rides on Arovos. In other words, Arovos is lower than Hashem, like the way an animal that a person rides on is lower than him. The Koshmai, with you, praise Hashem with his name Ka, with which he created Olam Hazeh and Olam Habah, Yud Niver Olam Habah, Hey Niver Olam Hazeh. So that's Arabis. So Manolam, the Ikri Shemayim, how do we know that Arabis is a name for Shemayim? So Omra Babah, who asks you, Rechiva Rechiva. We don't have directly where the Pasuk ever calls Arabis a name of Shemayim. We do have where it uses the word Arabis, but you could argue that it means something else. But we can make a Zeta Shava. Moshe Rabbeinu describes Hashem as riding on the heaven. So therefore, we understand, therefore, that Arabis is the highest level of the heaven, and Hashem rides above it. Hashem is beyond all the Nivroim, even the highest level Nivroim that we were talking about over here. Yom Yom Mashiach Ugo'ola, Beis Elul. So we call Mashiach Melech HaMashiach. So first of all, that means that the Geula is going to have a tremendous strength and power. We're not, it's not, that no obstacles will even matter to it. Yeah, Chazal have the expression Omer Malka Okar Torah, a king can speak and a mountain will be uprooted. Not even a mountain is going to stand in the way of a king's plans. And the expression Okar Torah, where a mountain shows, means in other words, a very powerful opponent, and still he's uprooted and taken someplace else, which means in Ruchnius. So that's the idea of his hafka, that the mountain, the oppositional mountain, gets moved elsewhere and transformed into an owl. And even going even further, the whole life and the whole metzios of everybody in the country and everything that takes place in the country all depends on the king. That means there can't really be an opponent to the king in the first place, because even the opponent himself gets his chayas from the king, even if he doesn't realize it. So now we're saying that Mashiach is not going to care about, is not going to even be concerned about any such obstacles, because they're all just going to move away in his presence. Okay, halachas of Shabbos, continuing. Sometimes you have a person has, like his ear is infected or otherwise has a discharge, and he puts a wad of cotton in it. So you're allowed to go out with such a wad on Shabbos as long as it's tied in place there so it won't fall out. Similarly, you can also put a wad of soft material in a inside a shoe as long as it's in such a way that it won't fall out. You have, for example, sometimes people have for shoe inserts. People have sometimes these wedges that they put between their toes when they have ingrown toenails or other such things. So all those kinds of things, they're for the comfort of the body. So you're allowed to wear them on Shabbos. You only just have to make sure they don't fall off, and therefore they have to be tied in place. Same thing would apply as far as a sling and other similar kinds of things like that.